This is Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, Senior Editor at Yes Media. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. The Arizona Supreme Court earlier this month restored a Civil War-era law banning abortions in all cases except when the life of the biological parent was in jeopardy. It's currently considered the most draconian abortion ban in the nation. When that law was first enacted in 1864, scientists didn't even understand how ovulation worked. The ruling comes ahead of a ballot measure in the November election that seeks to enshrine abortion access in the state's constitution. Pro-choice advocates say there is an increased surge of interest in passing the measure now. We turn to Amy Fitch Heacock, executive board member and spokesperson of Arizonans for Reproductive Freedom. Welcome to the program, Amy.
Thank you for having me.
Were you shocked about what the Arizona State Supreme Court did, and why do you think it did it?
No, we weren't shocked at all. In fact, I think all of us who listened to oral arguments in the case could tell the way that they were leaning. And we also know the makeup of our Supreme Court. So this was not shocking. I think that they did it because they are, appointed by conservative former governors. They felt like they had something to maintain in terms of the ideology that they represent. And also, I think they did it because they have a lack of understanding about what's at stake, frankly. And, when we're talking about this case, they were very careful to limit the language that they used in deciding it. My hope is that we will be able to litigate this another way and get rid of this ban altogether.
So you have a situation now where you have this basically near total abortion ban. Effectively, it's a total abortion ban. And then there's a ballot measure in November. What are the origins of that ballot measure? And was this Supreme Court decision in the state a reaction to what they think is coming?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So the origins of the ballot measure. So in 2022, we had a ballot measure as well. It was just conceived in the wake of the leak that we got on the Dobbs decision from the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. And that ballot measure had about 50 days in order to obtain signatures. At the time, we needed about 275,000 signatures, somewhere in there. And we ended up with a little more than 200,000 of those signatures, but not enough to qualify for the ballot. Keep in mind, that was only 50 days of collecting signatures, and it was an entirely volunteer effort. So what that really did was set a mandate, and it showed that Arizonans overwhelmingly want the government to stay out of our reproductive health care. And so as we started to look forward to the 2024 election, it was a no-brainer that we would attempt a ballot initiative again, this time with a different type of coalition behind it that could really push, and we have an extended period of time to get those signatures. I'm not sure if the Supreme Court saw the writing on the wall. I would think that when they see the popularity of what happened with our ballot measure attempt in 2022 and what the dialogue surrounding abortion among Arizonans has been since then, that they would have really tried to listen to the people who they are supposed to represent instead of, like I said, the ideology from the far right movement. I don't know that they would have decided differently if we had already been able to sort of promote the ballot initiative in a different way. I don't know that they're worried about what's going to happen in November. Maybe, in fact, they think that this is a way for voters to have their say.
So what do you think will happen? How has this decision by the state Supreme Court spurred activists? I mean, unless this ballot measure passes in November, that's it. People in Arizona seeking to terminate a pregnancy are out of luck unless they have the wherewithal financially or time-wise to travel out of state.
Yeah, so that's partly true. At the moment, I want to keep it clear just because I know that Arizonans will see this, and I want people to know that right now they still can get abortion up to 15 weeks gestation. It is still safe and legal in Arizona. We do have a couple of judicial stays in place right now that are allowing abortion procedures to continue. The other thing here is that we've seen some signals from our state legislature. We saw an immediate uprising of some of the Republicans who were the loudest champions for the total abortion ban coming forward and saying, we went too far. We're going to work to repeal this. Now, I don't know if it's going to be repealed. The state Senate is sort of leaning towards that. We have some signals from them that show that maybe they have the votes to repeal it on their end. The state House is anybody's guess. We don't know how that's going to happen. But there is a chance that the 1864 ban could be repealed, which would leave that 15-week gestational ban in place. But again, this ballot measure really gives us back the protections that we had under Roe. It says that the medical decision about an abortion should happen between a patient and their physician only, and not the government.
What about access to medication abortion? Is that something that Arizonans have the right to right now?
Yeah, so we do have access to medication abortion in Arizona. It's important to note that Arizona providers cannot prescribe medications for abortion via telehealth. That is widely used in the rest of the United States and, in fact, around the world. Arizonans do not have that right. We have a series of abortion trap laws, which make even medication abortion more difficult to get. That said, there are a number of out-of-state providers who are willing to provide that telehealth healthcare for Arizona patients. And so access to medication abortion is certainly something that we are thankful to have. Now, again, there are still hurdles to that. You would need to know that you had the right to seek telehealth outside of the state. You would need to have those resources. Anytime that there's a challenge in place, it's hard to say, do we have the right to do it? Yes. Do we have the access to it? Not always.
Now, California Governor Gavin Newsom has said he's looking into creating abortion access for Arizonans in his state. What do you make of this? I mean, it's certainly not a replacement or, you know, I suppose it just could be a good stopgap measure and a show of symbolic solidarity.
Yeah, so I'm really grateful for everybody who's thinking creatively about this. We need to be thinking creatively about how to protect patients always. And certainly we should have been thinking about this, frankly, since November 8th of 2016. That said, this is very much not a long-term solution for Arizonans and not for Arizona physicians either. So what he's talking about is essentially making it easier for Arizona physicians, abortion providers in the state, to get licensing in the state of California, but then they would need to go to California in order to perform any of these procedures. And as you mentioned earlier, you would need to have the financial ability to seek this out, not just on the patient end, but now we're talking about what it looks like on the provider's end in order to provide basic healthcare that they have been able to provide in the state of Arizona. It is just outlandish to me that we're even having this conversation, that we're here in a place where we think that it is somehow acceptable to send people out of state for critical healthcare. We're not talking about a long list of procedures where this is the case, and I'm tired of abortion being the number one.
Now, what is the political landscape in Arizona like regarding access to abortion? You have a female Democratic governor who has pledged to preserve the right, but you've got, you know, conservative Republican legislature. It is, and Arizona, of course, is a swing state, and this November is going to be playing an outsized role in the presidential election. Can you put the context of right to an abortion within the political framework at the state and really the federal level?
Absolutely. So in Arizona, we are purple or purpling. We have a state legislature that is under Republican control, but those majorities are narrow. We're talking about two seats before we are able to flip our Arizona legislature blue. We are grateful to have a Democratic governor and also a Democratic attorney general who have been very proactive in helping to set the stage for protecting abortion rights in Arizona. I would say that looking ahead at the November election, we know already recent polling tells us that 90% of Arizonans want to keep the government out of our reproductive health decisions. Wow. My hope is all of those people will come out and they will go to the ballot box. They will vote not just for the ballot initiative, but they will understand the magnitude of voting for pro-choice candidates who can help defend that going forward. Because we know that you know, just because we've passed a ballot measure and we've worked so hard on the ground to get the voice of the people heard, that sometimes the state legislature and, again, our Supreme Court can throw out the results of those ballot initiatives.
What about politically, in terms of the fallout for the Republican Party? You know, President, former President Trump has been trying to have it both ways, in, you know, trying to take full credit for overturning federally the right to an abortion with the Dobbs decision to his conservative base, and then to independents and those pro-choice Republicans claiming that, well, states will, you know, will decide for themselves whether or not to overturn abortion rights, which was, you know, and soon after that, the Arizona State Supreme Court, of course, reverted to this 1864 law. What do you think of the fallout to Republicans?
Yeah, you know, I've never seen anybody backtrack on a political position faster in my life, and I've been doing this a very long time. To see the immediate response from Republicans who are frankly running scared. They know that their positions of power hang in the balance now because they realize that abortion is regarded as healthcare, that it is widely supported across all demographics, across each party. They're afraid. And so they are going to revert to talking points that make it seem like they're attempting to be reasonable on abortion. We know that they are not reasonable on abortion. But I see that we have already, you know, abortion has been undefeated in every election since the Dobbs decision. I look for that to continue happening this November here in Arizona and elsewhere. And obviously, that's something that the Republicans are afraid of. They're working really hard to spin their communications to make it seem like they're reasonable people.
Tell me about your organization, Arizonans for Reproductive Freedom, and the plans you have between now and November to try to, you know, constitutionally enshrine the right to an abortion.
Absolutely. So, you know, Arizonans for Reproductive Freedom is a grassroots movement. We are all volunteer based. And one of the chief things that we are going to do between now and November is to push towards education. We are holding a series of education sessions so that people can come in for free. They can hear about what exactly is happening in the state of Arizona as it relates to abortion, what's at stake. And also, we are now shifting to talk about what the Republican strategy is here in Arizona in order to try to keep this ballot initiative from passing in November. We were very fortunate last week, a Republican staffer up in the state capitol here leaked their strategy. They gave us the blueprint that they intend to use. And so now we're going to use that information and go directly on the attack and let them know, let the people of Arizona know that they cannot be fooled by those strategic plans laid out by the Republican Party. Again, a lot of what happens with abortion comes down to having the accurate information. I'm an abortion educator. This is what I do every day. And I have a saying that I tell people all of the time, tell the truth about abortion every day. When you are able to give that truthful information, it takes one more person with disinformation out of the running. It closes down one more voice with misinformation. And the key here to winning about abortion is giving that accurate information out.
Give out the website for Arizonans for Reproductive Freedom or any other social media handles so people can find out about the work you do.
Absolutely. ArizonansForReproductiveFreedom.com is our website. You can look us up. We are all over social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Just go put in the search at Arizonans for Reproductive Freedom. I think some of our handles are AZ for Reproductive Freedom. But if you look us up, we're right there, and you'll be able to find accurate information and access to all of us.
Thank you so much, Amy, for joining us. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me, Sonali. Have a great day.
You too. My guest has been Amy Fitch Heacock, executive board member and spokesperson of Arizonans for Reproductive Freedom. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, senior editor at Yes Media and host of Yes Presents, Rising Up with Sonali. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Our audio podcast is on iTunes and Spotify.